This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
I think they have enough at linebacker. I really do, to kind of figure this thing out. I think Trotter could end up getting on the field.
Welcome back in, everybody, a Tuesday edition of Birds 365, joined now by Ed Kratz from SI.com. Ed, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Edward, good to see you, buddy.
Johnny Mac.
We're talking cornerbacks to start because the big Sean Stevens news broke. He's going to be in. They have so many bodies at cornerback. Obviously, last season, things went in a downward trajectory pretty quickly. So understandable why they wanted to correct it. But when is it too much when you have that many bodies? You want to focus on maybe a group of them to try to get them prepared for the season. They got a whole boatload of cornerbacks, Ed Kratz. What do you make of it?
Well, I would channel my inner Howie Roseman and say that's a good problem to have, John. But to be honest, I never heard of Sean Stevens until last night when they signed him away from what looked like a short ticket to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know. I mean, he's a 5'8" cornerback, small school guy.
Now, that's interesting. Right away, Ed, sorry to interrupt you, but this kid's so unknown because I did my research after it broke as well. And I saw he was at the Michigan State Pro Day, and there's some scouting stuff that he's 5'8.5". The Eagles listed him at 6 foot on their roster. It's like, which is it? That's pretty big difference.
Yeah.
That's how much little is known about this kid.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, when you're 5'8", you're going to claim that half inch every time. So if he's 5'8.5".
Like 4 inches.
Yeah. I guess we'll see on May 20th or 23rd, whenever they.
Now I got to pay attention. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, everybody uses a different tape measure, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, can the guy play? And like you said, there's so many bodies there now. And I heard you guys talking a little bit before I came on about, you know, this overcrowding situation they have here at cornerback. And like I said, Howie would say that's a good problem to have. Nick Sirianni would say it's a good problem to have. They have a new cornerbacks coach, new DB coach, new safety coach. They have all new coaches back there. New DC, obviously, who, you know, we still haven't talked to yet, by the way, Vic Fangio. And here we are almost in the middle of May. They hired him 4 months ago. And, you know, we're on the field the other day for rookie minicamp looking for him, making sure that they actually did hire him, because we haven't seen hide or hair of the guy, him or Kellen Moore, since they hired him. Every other team has made the coordinators available, as far as I know. And for some reason, the Eagles just don't want to do that for us. So assuming Vic Fangio is the DC, he's going to have a situation at cornerback to sort out. And that is a good problem to have. It's a lot of guys. And you guys are saying, you know, you have to assume Bradbury's gone, and you're probably right. They're not going to keep a veteran corner around. Are they really going to start a rookie corner in Quinyon Mitchell? When was the last time they started a rookie cornerback? I mean, we'll have to go back in the archives to find that answer out, I think. But that's a lot of trust to have in a rookie to start at corner. And I'm assuming it would be Quinyon, but Cooper DeJean is a very capable corner too, and maybe he gets thrown into the starting job. I mean, I think those two could battle it out if they get rid of Bradbury to start. They're just not going to give it to Quinyon Mitchell because he was the first-round pick. I think we could see a battle between two rookies to start a cornerback if they part with James Bradbury, and I think they eventually will.
Yeah, what a change it's been from just a year ago when cornerback was one of their, you know, least deep parts of the roster, and all of a sudden now, as Johnny Mack pointed out, there's going to be teams waiting to see who the Eagles cut because there's NFL-ready corners on this roster that will ultimately not make it to the final roster vote. Ed, how do you project Cooper DeJean? I know you just mentioned he could be a battle in, for outside cornerback. A lot has been made of his versatility, safety, slot corner, but they really have depth in that whole back end. Do you think outside corner is where they're going to put him, or could they use him on the inside or safety?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the story is going to be written, you know, this summer as far as where they're going to play him. He played corner at Iowa, and, you know, I know that's kind of probably his strongest position. I know he can play those other spots, but I think it will depend on, you know, how he acclimates at safety. And I heard John say use him as the, you know, the big nickel packages, be that extra linebacker that they bring down. I mean, I guess they could go that direction as well. But I think they're going to put him at corner initially, and this is just going to be kind of a battle. It's going to be fun to watch this cornerback battle shape up as to who is going to start opposite Slay. Will it be Bradbury, DeJean, Mitchell, Keely Ringo, who, you know, did some good things later in the season last year, struggled at, obviously, you know, at the beginning of his rookie year, but got better. It's going to be fascinating to see Xander exactly where he settles. You know, once, you know, camp gets rolling, OTA's coming up here soon. Maybe we'll see some different formations. I doubt it. They play these things pretty close to the vest. So that's going to be fun. Just like the right guard spot. You know, we don't know. I mean, those are the two positions I think is right guard and corner. You know, who's going to start? You know, who's going to make the team? I mean, they're pretty deep on the offensive line as well. They have a lot of bodies they can roll through there. So I think Howie's done a really nice job putting this roster together in terms of creating competition. And that's what you want, because that's what's going to make you better in the long run.
Yeah. Just to wrap things up, and we'll get to the offensive line, because that's interesting as well, that right guard spot. And I know you asked Nick about Mekhi Becton, but when it comes to Cooper, because I wrote about him and I looked it up, because I think there's this narrative he can't play outside corner. The Eagles think he can play outside corner.
I do too.
So he had 705 snaps at Iowa last year. It wasn't as high as it should have been because he got injured. 630 of them were at outside corner. He had 28 snaps at the line of scrimmage, 23 in the slot, 23 more in the box, and one as a safety. So the move to safety is a complete projection. And the guy runs a 4.44 40. He's got a 38.5 vertical leap. His broad jump is over 10 feet. So he shows that explosion. He's an athlete. I think a lot of people, let's be honest, as Jeff McClain got in trouble for, will they allow a white guy to play cornerback in the NFL? This guy's an athlete. It's not like he's doing things and he's not out there and he can only play zone coverage. And he's got tremendous ball skills. I think he's an outside corner. But Darius Slay's still here. You know, if you if you project to 2025, it's probably going to be Mitchell and DeJean, outside corner. But before then, you want to get him on the field, sort of like Cam Jurgens playing at right guard, but he's really a center. And that's where I think you can – that's the easiest spot. Because they don't have linebackers. So make him that big nickel player. That would have been Sidney Brown's role if they didn't draft Cooper DeJean. That's how I think you get him on the field early.
Well, you know, Cam Jurgens didn't get on the field early. He sat pretty much as a rookie. Yeah. You know, he played, I don't know, 25 snaps, if that, on offense. You know, I'm not even sure it was that high. So, you know, he sat as a rookie. Listen, if you can't earn your way onto the field, it'd be nice for him to get on the field. And I think he will get on the field. He's that good of a player. I would like to see him get trained at the position he's going to play, cornerback. You know, who's to say that Mitchell and DeJean are both starting this year? I know, you know, that's far-fetched. But, you know, Slay is an older player. We've already talked to him about how long this season is and how hard it is on the body.
He missed a bunch of games with his knee last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we could see two rookie corners, you know, on the field at the same time at some point during the season. I would even argue to just kind of, you know, even give Slay a few breaks during the game, even if he's healthy, just to kind of, you know, prevent him from wearing down later in the season. Try to keep him as healthy and as fresh as you can during the first couple months. And if that means, you know, rotating Brad or Mitchell or DeGene or Ringo, whoever it is, so be it. Because you're right. I think it helps players to get on the field. Cam Jurgens came out like gangbusters when he finally got on the field as the right guard and played well until he injured, I think it was a foot or something after the first month and spent a month on the IR. But he was playing well before he got hurt, I thought. And then he came back and he wasn't quite the same. But yeah, it'd be real beneficial for the Eagles if that's their plan in 2025 to put DeGene and Mitchell on the outside. Then, yeah, it would be nice to get both those guys some time at those spots this year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ed. I think that's a good point. And Slay is 33 years old.
Yeah.
In the NFL world, that's an old man. So we'll see what they end up doing there. Ed, we talked obviously a lot about DeGene and Mitchell to start there, but I just want to give you a chance to comment on, we haven't talked to you since the NFL draft, what the Eagles did overall, how we did a great job. I thought from a decision-making perspective, obviously can't grade the players just yet, but I thought he did nice work. I thought he read the board great again, another year of playing his cards right, added some draft picks next year. What'd you make of Howie's overall 2024 draft?
Yeah, players aside, I mean, it was exciting because the guy's always trading, right? They're on the clock. Next thing you know, trade comes in, and we're in the media house like, oh, my God, what now? Yeah. You know, and you're scrambling.
I said to Johnny Mac, it's got to be tough to cover this team.
It's awful.
It's kind of fun, and it makes it exciting, like I said, in the draft room. But, yeah, it's difficult to keep track of, you know, what picks are going, what are they getting back, and then, you try to write it down to go back and look at it and study it a little bit later, and then next thing you know, there's another deal. What do you make, eight trades in that draft?
Eight. And by the way, Pelissero screwed something up and had him at 9, which would have been a record, but it turned out to be 8.
Yeah, it was 8. And the best thing I liked about the draft was he got 3 picks for next year when the draft is supposed to be deeper. This was the fewest number of underclassmen that came out in the draft. I think the number was 58. And, you know, reason for that is the NIL money. You know, you're making a lot of money now to play football and any sport really in college. So what's the rush? Why rush out to the NFL if you're going to be making maybe less than what you made in college with the NILs? But next year it's supposed to be, you know, more of an upperclassman heavy type draft. So you assume that the talent will be a little bit deeper to pick from. And, you know, Howie landed 3 picks, a third, a fourth, and a fifth, which is really, to me, you know, the best part of this draft. You know, players aside, like I said, you know, you get a third round pick. That's value. That's probably a top 100 pick. They didn't have a fourth round pick going into next year because they traded that for DeAndre Swift last year in the draft. So now you have that back. And I think it's the same pick that they traded away initially to the Lions. They got that back in the trade with Detroit. So they have that and they have a fifth. So, you know, that to me was terrific. Terrific job by Howie Roseman. And then, you know, I like the pick of DeGene in the second round. I like trading up, and Howie admitted he kind of lost that trade based on the draft chart evaluator. He probably gave up a little more than he would have liked to get up.
Yeah, Jeffrey Lurie sitting right next to him trying to egg it on.
Yeah, I don't want to go there, but that was a Jeffrey Lurie pick right there.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, when your boss is breathing down your neck because he wants Cooper DeGene, you're going to lose a trade to make that happen. And, you know, but I think it was a good pick. And Howie said afterward, you know, Jeffrey said that it's very rare that you get 2 first round players when you're picking in the 20s to start with. And that to me is what they got, is because DeGene's grade by many was a first round pick. So they essentially got 2 first round picks in the top 40, which is good work again by Howie. And then we'll see. We'll see what Jalix Hunt can become. Aeneas Smith, I think, can be of service to them. And by the way, I think he puts Britton Covey's job in jeopardy because Smith is going to be used as kind of a gadget guy. I think he's got a running back background, a receiver background, punt return. He can return kicks. it's going to be a battle there too. We're talking about these little battles on the roster, and that's going to be one as well, as the punt returner, who's going to be the kick returner. You know, and I like Trevor Keegan an awful lot. I mean, we talked about right guard. Who's to say he doesn't come in and win that job over Matt Hennessy and Mekhi Becton if they move him to guard, and whoever else is there, Tyler Steen, kind of the forgotten guy a little bit. Who's to say
starter Tyler Steen? He's the leader in the clubhouse, said Kraft.
Well, I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I think Trevor Keegan could come in and win that job.
I like Keegan a lot.
Yeah, I like Keegan a lot too. He's a captain on a national championship team. Yeah.
Sound like Martin Frank.
Michigan man Martin Frank. Yeah, but I do like him, school aside, Martin Frank aside. I like Trevor Keegan a lot. Dylan McMahon, I think, you know, these comparisons to Jason Kelce are a little bit ridiculous at this point. I mean, he's the same size. He came at the same point in the draft as Jason, but come on, let's see what he can do on the field first before we start.
Well,
saying.
I'm with you there. Lightning doesn't strike. Same thing with the Eagles going the international pathway program to get another Australian rugby player. Yeah. Lightning ain't striking twice, but who knows? Same thing with Dylan McMahon. Maybe turns into a decent player, but I'm with you there. Right guard, you asked Nick about Mekhi Becton. I think, you know, and I put myself in this camp, so I'll blame myself as well. My first thought when people floated that, I think, our buddy Jeff Mosher was the first to float. It was like, come on, the guy's massive. Why are you going to put him at guard? You know, but Lane Johnson, 6'6". Jordan Mailata is 6'8". Landon Dickerson is 6'6". Tyler Steen is 6'5". What the hell's the difference between 6'5 and 6'7 at this stage?
Yeah.
You know, if he can play, and that's the big question, now I'm starting to think it's not so crazy. Mekhi Becton, if he wins the job, have a legitimate competition. And by the way, it's got to be Tyler Steen. It's got to be Keegan, Mekhi Becton, Matt Hennessy. Jeff Stoutland knows he'll whittle it down. I don't think he's going to give the job to Tyler Steen. I think it's going to be a legit competition, not like Cam Jurgens was last year, where Nick would say, he's not the starter, he's not the starter, he's not the starter. But nobody else got first team reps. Right. I think somebody else is getting first team reps. The question is, who could it be? Mekhi Becton?
Well, you know, it could be a little premature to think he can switch to guard. I mean, that's a big transition to make from tackle to guard. You know, you were probably there when I can't remember who described it to us, but
that was Andre Dillard.
It's like going from, you know, being on an island by yourself at tackle to all of a sudden
you were going to the bathroom. He would describe it as
if you being got in a phone booth. Someone said it was like being in a phone booth. And if you don't remember what a phone booth was, anybody out there, you know, they were pretty small. So that's kind of the comparison, is you're going from an island where you're all by yourself on this deserted island, one-on-one against somebody, to a phone booth where you're, you know, working elbow to elbow, you know, surface blocking, double teaming, all these other different blocking setups that you have. It's not easy to do. And I don't know if Becton can do it. I mean, are they going to try to look at him as a guard? Is Jeff Stoutland going to kind of take him under his wing and try to teach him how to play it? Probably. But can Becton do it? I don't know. I think
Andre's description, Ed, was more colorful. His was, if your dominant hand is injured and you have to go to the bathroom, that's what it's like, if you get my point. His was more colorful.
Yeah. Yeah. Andre was very philosophical. Unfortunately, he, you know, that didn't translate onto the field. He's with the Packers now, kind of washed out in Tennessee. Nice kid, really nice kid. But, you know, just struggling to play. But yeah, you know, good for him. Maybe he'll write a book someday, you know, using some of that colorful descriptive language that he's prone to. But you know, it's a tough transition is what I'm saying for Becton. And, you know, again, I keep coming back to Keegan. I mean, I just think that he could wedge his way. And I know Tyler Steen, I think the Eagles, I'm not sure they really, I think they kind of like him as a swing guy, but maybe that's changed now if Becton can come in.
Becton's here now. I think they want Tyler Steen to win the job, but they want him to win the job.
Right.
But I do think they want him to seize that job. Kenny? I don't know.
I could see that now that they have Becton, because really I thought he was going to be your swing tackle backing up, you know, but now I think Becton could be that guy. And, you know, maybe Becton, you know, he could get on the field. Lane Johnson hasn't really, you know, been as healthy these past couple years as you'd like to see. He's kind of in and out of games. He'll miss a game, but, you know, Becton can step in then. And who knows, maybe Becton will end up being Lane Johnson's replacement after a couple years. I don't know. He's only 25, Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
He's only here on a one-year deal. He'd have to see the benefit to sticking around. If he's eventually going to take over for Johnson, he may not want to. He may want to go on to another team and be a starter right away. But Becton's going to be a fun watch, too. I mean, there's a lot of good stories with this camp that will eventually come our way, and Becton's one of them. How is he going to transition to guard? You know, is he going to be happy backing up Lane and Jordan? We'll see.
And that's probably my biggest concern about Becton to guard now that it's shifted. Originally, it was size.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
And I've kind of gotten over that, but he's got to learn to play tackle before he can play guard. So
yeah.
That's my biggest issue. And it's probably not going to happen, but I do think it's interesting, and we'll see how it unfolds. With the draft, Ed, most of Howie's decisions make sense, and I always say that, and that's good. The one you can kind of nitpick about is Jalix Hunt that early, and the Eagles have acknowledged this is essentially a project player. We talked about all the cornerbacks. I mean, let's get some bodies at linebacker, Howie. What are we doing here? I got Cooper DeJean, although maybe turns to DeJean now that he's in Philly. I have him playing nickel linebacker, big nickel, essentially, because they don't have any linebackers.
Well, you know, they drafted Jeremiah Trotter, brought in Zach Bond, who they like a whole lot, signed Devin White. This is how they do it.
Bond's going to be an edge rusher. He's not going to be an off-ball linebacker.
Oren Burks, too.
Forgot about Oren Burks, who, you know, I think his job might be in jeopardy with the sign or the drafting of Jeremiah Trotter. But, you know, who knows? Again, if it'd be nice if we would have had some inkling of how Vic Fangio wants to operate with his scheme before going into the draft, so we can kind of put some pieces in place here. But the fact is, we just don't know what Fangio's thinking with some of these guys and how he likes to run things. I mean, we have his body of history we can look at, but is that going to be the same, you know, that he's done with this team? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, listen, linebacker, this is the way they do it. They're never going to draft a linebacker with the first or second in the first or second round, I don't think. I mean, they've had opportunities to do it. They just don't want to do it. They prefer to bring in guys from other positions or from other teams, rather, in free agency. And you know, maybe draft a linebacker late, which is what they did with Jeremiah Trotter. Now, they tried a linebacker a couple years ago in the third round, Davion Taylor. Obviously didn't work out real well.
Project player. I mean,
they finally go linebacker in a premium pick, and they take a project player.
Yeah. So, you know, they got bitten there. But I think they have enough at linebacker. I really do, to kind of figure this thing out. I think Trotter could end up getting on the field at some point. Who knows about Nakobe, if he can stay healthy. But I think they have some depth that if he doesn't stay healthy, it's not like you're going to run Shaq Leonard out there after you sign him in week 11 or whenever
people
it was.
People were excited about Shaq Leonard.
Yeah, that was such a desperation move. And, you know, again, it didn't help. And you want to bring guys in. I know they had good luck with Zach Cunningham. I thought they might bring him back. I think he's still out there.
Yeah, he is.
I think they have enough. I really do. I mean, I think after you draft Trotter, you sign Burks and Bond and White, you know, you mix them in there with Van Sumeren and I want to see Ben Van Sumeren.
That's where I am. I'm not nearly as high on the linebackers as you. I want to see Ben Van Sumeren seize a job. I don't know if he can, but I do know he's athletic. We've talked to him a lot. He's got a good mentality. He's a hard worker.
He
picks things up quickly. He's very raw when he got here, but you saw the improvement when he was forced to play a little bit at the end of the season. Smart guy, dedicated guy. I want to see him jump up because I don't have confidence in any of them.
You mentioned lightning striking twice. I mean, they had lightning strike with TJ Edwards, an undrafted kid from the Big Ten, Wisconsin.
And they let him walk, and he didn't even get paid that much.
But he's a guy that came in and was just like Van Sumeren in terms of the attitude and work ethic and wanting to get better and do well at your job. And sure enough, he comes in, Edwards, and gets better each year. Got better in coverage, got better with his instincts. Everything just kind of clicked with TJ. And maybe lightning will strike twice, and Ben Van Sumeren will be there.
I will say the big difference, TJ was a big-time college player. Like he was, I think, was second in the Butkus Award voting, and he ran a 4.87. So that's what doomed him. Like Ben barely played in college because he was so raw, and he transferred from Michigan to Michigan State or vice versa.
Yeah, he had it right the first time. Michigan to Michigan State. Yeah,
but he's a great athlete. He's a great athlete. Like TJ had to overcome the knock that he was a terrible athlete. And, you know, he remade his body. That guy from day one to when he left, he completely remade his body. And I think he ran 4.87 once in his entire life. Like he had a bad day and everybody labels him and he became this big time player. And he's still a good off ball linebacker in Chicago, which tells you, in two different spots, he was big. So I'm not going to go that far, but I do want Ben Van Sumeren. I don't have confidence in these other guys. I think Nakobe can play, but man, he can't even find cleats to wear, Ed. I can't count on that guy.
Well, so you're saying that lightning's not going to strike twice with Ben Van Sumeren, I guess, compared to TJ Edwards. You're right. Edwards was a better prospect, but who knows? Maybe some Van Sumeren can come in and do it. I don't know. I like Devin White. I think that, you know, he's at a crossroads of his career. I think that if he wants to continue his career, and he knows this, he's going to have to come out and he's going to have to perform. Otherwise, he's on a one-year deal. If he doesn't do the kind of things that he wants to do, he's going to wash out, or he's going to end up going to another team for a one-year deal, making less. I mean, this is a big year for him. He knows it, and I think that tends to motivate a lot of guys. So if he stays healthy, I think Devin White could be kind of, you know, one of the better free agent signings in this class. I know it's a big if, but I think, you know, the motivation factor is going to be huge for him.
TJ Edwards, to me, is a reminder every time I think about it that Howie's not going to change his ways at linebacker. You take an undrafted guy, you build him up into a really a great linebacker in the league by every metric.
Yeah.
And then when the contract time comes, you let him walk for – it's not like he got paid, you know, big bucks. He got paid decent contract, but $7 or $8 million a year from Chicago, and Howie lets him walk right out the door. Johnny Mack, as you always say, that's a guy you want to parade. You want to show, look at what
I would have took pride. Now, I always say about TJ, and he might have just wanted to go home.
It's, I guess. You know, yeah.
Because he was a Bears fan growing up. He grew up just outside of Chicago. Maybe he wanted to play for the Bears, and the Eagles wanted to sign him. I don't know if that's the case. But, yeah, he's somebody I would have took pride in. I would have said, look what I found.
Yeah,
if I'm a GM, and it didn't work out. But yeah, that's the biggest issue with the Eagles on paper. It remains all ball linebacker to me. But the fifth round picks, you talked about Trevor Keegan, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has a path to playing time, at least because of the issues at all ball linebacker. And then Anaya Smith was the first of the three fifth-round picks. Eagles might finally have that manufactured touch player they can't seem to find that other teams have. But are we putting too much? These are fifth-round picks.
Yeah.
I like them all. I see potential in them all. But maybe we got to pump the brakes a little bit. Maybe that's for a year or two down the road. Fifth-round picks. There's a reason they're fifth-round picks, right?
Right. And, you know, Johnny Walker, what was he, a sixth-round pick? Another receiver. I mean, yeah, you have to pump the brakes. You have to develop these guys. You know, that's where your coaches come in. And that's, you know, that's going to be a process, I think. I mean, you're right. You hope maybe they can come in and contribute in some way. They're not going to come in and be superstars right out of the gate, obviously. But can they come in and contribute? Can they come in and learn the game kind of in baptism under fire while they're on the field, instead of just sitting on the sideline and watching and studying in meetings? Can they translate onto the field and get some experience there? But you know, just going back to the linebacker spot, John, would you sign Zach Cunningham? I mean, you know, look at the cornerbacks. They're bringing in, you know, everybody to play corner, and we have a glut of players at that position. Would you bring in Cunningham and add him to what they've already done at linebacker?
Yeah, I would have, but I think that is, you know, if they didn't sign Devin White, I think Devin White took his spot. And if you're asking me, would I rather have Zach Cunningham than Devin White? Yes. Obviously, Devin White's more athletic. He's a bigger name. I get the people that think the light switch is going to go off, but he's played 5 years. I don't think it goes off. And the same thing I say with Paris Campbell as the third receiver. He's played too long for the light switch to go off at this point. So I would rather have Zach Cunningham, but they sort of made their decision with Devin White. I don't even mind Oren Burks as the third linebacker. I think that's a good role for him as the top backup. He's a good special teams player. I think that was a good signing. You draft Trot. That's a good developmental guy to pair with Ben Mansumra. Maybe one of the two hits. That's, you're looking for one of the two. So I would rather have the player I can trust, and that's Zach Cunningham, rather than the, to me, how he's swinging for the fences. It's all about launch angle with Devin White, and he's probably going to strike out.
Well, I disagree. I think I'd rather have White based on the motivation factor that, you know, maybe this lights a fire under him. So I'd take White. You know who I would sign, though, at linebacker to bring in, if you're talking about bringing in like a Sean Stevens at cornerback? I'd bring back Sean Bradley. You know, he was a good special teams player, well-liked in the locker room, still out there. I know he's coming off, I think it was an Achilles that he had. So, you know, that's a, you know, that's not easy to do, although Brandon Graham handled it just fine in his 30s when he came back from his. So, to me, I'd bring in Sean Bradley and see what he can give you, see if he can't crack his way onto this roster. But I don't have any problem with them signing White over Cunningham. I would not bring Cunningham back at this point. I think you roll the dice with White. Maybe you sign Bradley, see if he can find a way onto this roster.
Ed Kratz from SI.com joining us. Make sure you follow Ed on Twitter at KratzE. Ed, real quick, I want to ask you on the offensive side of the ball, what you're thinking that slot wide receiver. Johnny Mack wrote a good article about Anaya Smith on SI.com. I think he's a good prospect. I think he fits the slot mold maybe better than some of the players they've had in the past, but it seems to be a wheel at that position, and they have a great one and two, but they haven't been able to find their slot. What do you think goes on at that position, or who do you think wins that spot at that position?
Yeah, again, you know, I mentioned Covey kind of being in trouble here. I would really like to see them see what Covey can give you in the slot. Anaya Smith is, you know, they're taking it slowly with him. He had the stress fracture that they discovered at the combine in early March, and they sent him home, so he didn't run, and maybe that was to the Eagles' benefit. Maybe had he run and he's shown speed, and maybe he was able to go through the drills, the three cone, all that other stuff, maybe he would have risen up into the earlier on the third day, maybe an early fourth rounder. He wouldn't have been there for Philly to take. So, you know, maybe it's to their benefit that he didn't work out, but they're going to take it slowly with him. You know, I think he's certainly a guy that can do it. His production wasn't really what you'd like to see at A&M. He does have that running back background. I think in his sophomore year, he had 49 carries, almost 300 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. That's certainly intriguing. But, you know, he had 7 different quarterbacks at Texas A&M. I mean, so that could be a reason for his production not being what you would like to see. But I think for this team, I think he'll be in the mix for the slot corner. And, you know, I think Devontae Smith could be in the slot. I think they're going to run a couple guys through the slot, you know, and bring in maybe, you know, Paris Campbell or Devontae Parker, someone as your other receiver on the outside if you put Smith down there. I'm not sure both of those guys make this team, especially when
is there a bigger clip on this team, Ed, from starter to backups than receiver? You go from AJ and Devontae down to Paris Campbell and Devontae Parker.
Well, it's hard to find, you know, a trio.
No, it is, but I'd like to have a little more juice at wide receiver 3, and hopefully it could be Anaya Smith. He did come back for his pro day, ran a 4.55, which is not good. But maybe the stress fracture was still, he's not practicing, so maybe it bothered him.
Yeah.
He looks faster than that on the film.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, I mean, maybe Johnny Wilson. Give me something. I need some.
Johnny Wilson's a pretty tall slot, 6'7". I mean, the thing I like about Johnny Wilson is he came out and talked about Harold Carmichael when he asked who he emulates his game after being a 6'7" guy. And he said Harold Carmichael. Yeah. I mean, Harold Carmichael last played in like 1982. You know,
he probably just met Harold.
At least Jalen Hurts would be able to see Johnny Wilson over a Mekhi Becton, a 6'8" Mekhi Becton playing guard.
<That's true. laughs> Yeah, it's going to be a tough line of sight there, tough vision. Yeah. But yeah, the slot still has to be sorted, you know. But I think Anaya Smith does fit well there. I think Devontae Smith can rotate in there, give him some slot reps, and maybe Britton Covey. I mean, again, you know, he did some good things on the scout team last year, probably deserved an opportunity to play a little bit more at receiver.
I think he did. I think he's a damn good. I think people assuming Anaya Smith can be the punt returner, they don't realize how good Britton Covey was last year as the punt returner.
14.4 yards a return for Britton Covey last year. Anaya Smith, I think, 14.3 yards per punt return, 20 punt returns.
There's a big difference. A&M.
last year. It was a huge difference. Yeah. For sure. But I like the fact that Anaya Smith said he came in and he looked at XFL tape, studied the kickoffs in the XFL, because that's what the NFL is going to go with, is these kickoffs. And that to me shows, and if it was on his own, good for him. That shows, you know, ambitious, you know, he's ready for it. He wants to learn it. He wants to do it. So, you know, there's things to like about all these players. When they brought all these players out to us, I was very impressed with, you know, how
five red stars. That's it was a mentality off season.
Yeah, they're all good guys. You just hope they can play at some point. Like you said, fifth rounders are fifth rounders for a reason. Can they play? I don't know, but they're certainly good guys. They're certainly going to be good guys in the locker room. But we'll see if they can develop.
Real quick, and I kept you too late. I apologize, Ed. Cubby, I hate to think this, but he's so honest. Do you think that hurts him? Do you think the Eagles want him to shut up?
I hope not. I mean,
I hope not either. But
I mean, I hope they let people be people and, you know, express themselves and not have to kind of put a lid on their personalities. I don't think that's a very good culture to have at all. So I'm going to say no, but maybe that's more wishful thinking, because I think you should just let people be themselves. And Britton's, you know, like you said, he's a good guy to talk to. He's very honest. He'll tell it like it is. And he's very popular in the clubhouse. Yeah. You talk to other players in that locker room. They don't like him, you know, because of his honesty.
Not
to
like.
Yeah. So I would hope that that's not what the Eagles are thinking, is, you know, Covey tells the truth too often, or he speaks out too much. Or
I hate to think that way, but
I'm going to say
hide him between a bunch of players. I guess everything gets, you know, goes into consideration.
Like if you're AJ, you can get away with it. You can say whatever the hell you want and they'll deal with it. But if you're, you're the back end, I don't know. Maybe I'm too conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. I don't like it. I hope that's not it. That's a bad culture. If they're talking to him about,
that's a good point. Listen, Howie, that's a bad culture. If you're thinking that way, because I think Britton Cubby was the best punt returner in football last season. And people that think you can replace that, it's going to be a while.
That's the other seemingly deep part of this roster. Now there's all of a sudden a bunch of guys that can return, you know, I guess after they change the kickoff rules, they go and get a bunch of guys. But Ed, we appreciate you joining the show, man. Thank you for sticking on for a while. Make sure everybody reads Ed's work at SI.com and follow him on Twitter at Kratzy. Thanks, Ed, for joining the show.
Yep. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thanks, bud.
There's Ed Kratz joining us from SI.com, John's co-patriot. Good stuff from Ed Kratz there. Me and John will come back. We'll kick around a little bit of the wide receiver three talk. Johnny Mack wrote a nice article on SI about Anaya Smith. I know they're taking it slow with him after the injury, but Johnny Mack, he's that manufactured touch guy, which I know you're very opinionated on. So we'll come back and we'll kick that around. Coming up later in hour number two, Scott Grayson from Fox 29. So good stuff planned in hour number two. Make sure you guys like the show, as it's the best thing you can do to help us grow. Trying to get to 100 likes during the live show. How close are we? If you guys can alert me of that, let's get to 100 likes during the live show. Plenty watching, over 750 across Jacob platforms and almost 400 on YouTube. So good stuff from all of our viewers today. We appreciate it. Stick around. We'll be back to talk about wide receiver three and then Scotty Grayson coming up in about 15 minutes.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.